Welcome back to Michigan's number one outdoor radio show. Thank you for that. I do appreciate it. You can hear the show on WBRN in Big Rapids. That's 1460 AM. Let's go to Lansing, WILS, 1320 AM. This segment of Outdoor Magazine is brought to you by the Michigan United Conservation Clubs. For 75 years, MUCC has been fighting for your right to hunt and fish, but they need your help. For details on how to join MUCC, check out the website, MUCC.org. MUCC.org. A couple of other websites, MikeEveryOutdoors.com. From there, you can get to all things Outdoor Magazine, including our Facebook page, or just go there directly, Facebook.com/Outdoor Magazine. Also, Miller's-SportFishing.com. That's the website of Don Miller and Miller's Sport Fishing Charters, specializing in muskie on the world-famous muskie lake, Lake St. Clair. The season starts the first Saturday in June, so it's coming up soon. Don, before the break, we started to talk a little bit about trolling speeds. Now, for somebody who's used to trolling live bait for night crawlers at 0.9 miles an hour or slower, your 6 mile an hour trolling speed seems almost crazy, but it works, doesn't it?
It's one of the most effective things going is to, you have to understand muskies being an opportunist, but they like to chase things too and follow it along. And in the fish kingdom, I used to cast a little bit when I was first starting out. The biggest mistake that I would make is once I knew I had one following my bait was to slow up and let it have it. And it took a little while for me to realize that in the fish kingdom, the natural reaction for the little thing that you had in front was to pretend that it was a fish. The natural reaction would be, if you knew you were going to die, is not to give up and die. Speed up and try to run faster. And the minute you do that, they're going to hop all over it. So when you're out there with a little bit of trolling around and moving the wiggling the boat around, sometimes the faster you can move that bait without it skipping out of the water and planing is one of the most natural reaction things. That once a muskie starts following something that thinks that might be dinner, is to speed it up a little bit. So if you're moving at a good speed, you got their interest. Oh, boy.
Now, you mentioned casting. In the traditional muskie states like Wisconsin and Minnesota, that's their primary technique, isn't it, casting?
Yes, it is. That is their primary tactic.
So then why troll? Is it because you can just cover so much more water?
Well, I think open water trolling on muskies was pioneered by the late great Homer LeBlanc on Lake St. Clair. But you have to understand, Lake St. Clair is not a small body of water. That's 260 some odd thousand acres of water versus some of the lakes that you have in Wisconsin and Minnesota. They may be 1,500 acres or 2,000 acres where you may have one fish in a body of water like that becomes legendary versus Lake St. Clair, to where that one fish in that one body of water that you have in Wisconsin or Minnesota in a 1,500-acre lake, there may be hundreds or thousands of a fish like that in Lake St. Clair, you know? So finding that fish some days out in Lake St. Clair can sometimes be like finding a needle in a haystack. There's days when you sometimes you see 3 to 6 in a day, and some days you see 9, 10, up to 25, 30 in a day.
Oh, my goodness. I can't even imagine what that would be like.
You know? So, but that's the difference between the two objects, and trolling on Lake St. Clair is probably the most effective ways that you can cover much more water in a bigger body of water like that. But it can still be cast. There's guys that cast that. Like, I'm not looking down my nose at casters out there either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guys are fishing, and I know that they catch some very nice fish up around the St. John's Marsh, Mitchell's Bay, St. Luke's area, down along Pesh Island, Gros Eel in Detroit, lower end of Detroit River down there, is holding some big muskies now today, as well as all in around Belle Isle, you know. And the Scotts Middle Grounds is one of the best breeding places for muskies, off the end of Belle Isle right there between west of Belle Island, between that and the MacArthur Bridge, which takes you across to Belle Island there.
Now, you mentioned breeding grounds. Are all of your fish naturally reproduced? Do you have any musky rearing ponds where you're putting fish in?
No. Lake St. Clair, they're all natural reproduction there. That lake is glacier formed, and it's like a big pond, saucer dished type of lake in between two rivers, which is the St. Clair River and the Detroit River, and it has a complete flush through it of every 4 to 5 days, and it's like a big wide spot between two rivers, like I said. So that lake has every type of forage in it that any muskie could ever want to eat that lives in the Great Lakes that comes through there, you know?
What do they feed on most in nature, muskies?
I think in Lake St. Clair, their primary source of food is going to be perch, walleyes, bass, gizzard shad now, white perch, silver bass, stuff like that that are in there. The predators have cleaned up a lot of gobies, which have been kind of a plague, and everybody's wondered what's going on with the gobies here lately. But the muskies and northern pike and are starting to clean those things up a little bit.
Now, if somebody comes out fishing with you, they've got a reasonable chance of catching the biggest fish they're ever going to catch in their life. Yet, when they step off your boat back at the dock, they're not taking that fish home with them, are they?
No. I put all the fish back into the lake. I have a 60-inch live well on the back of my boat. Probably it's 60 inches by, I want to say, 14 inches across. And we got the freshwater pickup in it, so when the fish comes into the boat, the hooks are removed. It's put into the live well tank with fresh water from the lake being pumped through the tank and, you know, goes out the backside of the tank. Fish gets rehabilitated in there. We lift it up, take some pictures, and release the fish back into the lake. And the graphite reproductions that the people wish to have them done are there for the people to be done. I can make an arrangement for the people. We take a lot of photographs of the fish while the fish is feeling well. And it's all good and released back in the lake. So I there's no need to kill muskies. And you'll always say, in being a purist, there's never enough of those big horses to go around for everyone to feel. And it's like lightning on a, it's not literally, but it's like having a lightning hit your rod right there and feel these things take off like that. It's a rush that I think is second to none.
Well, and it wasn't always that way, though, right? I mean, even back when the famed Homer LeBlanc was fishing, I mean, those guys ate fish.
Homer would tell you, if you went out, when he started out, if you were lucky to get a strike in a day, if you could get a strike a day, you were doing good. I can't imagine that.
And yet the locals at the time did used to take some fish. It was no big deal to them, right?
No, it was no big deal. They took them back then and kept them. It was no big deal. And like I said, you were lucky if you got a strike a day. Now, I'd say on a good prime bite, it hurts my feelings if I see anything less than 3 to 6 a day.
So much for the fish of 10,000 casts, eh, Don?
Yeah. I literally, if you told people that you went over, we talked about the places before, Wisconsin and Minnesota, but if you told them that you seen caught 6 muskies in a day's time over there, that's a good 2 weeks worth of work to a guide.
Right.
You know?
Where do your people come from? How far do they come to fish Lake St. Clair with you?
Mike, I get them from all over North America. I got some folks from New Jersey coming this year. I got some folks from New York. I got some coming out from Texas. I've had them from Texas coming again. I've had them from, I want to say, 8 or 9 different countries of the world. I've had them as far east as Singapore. And as far west as West Germany come down to the boat that knew people in Detroit, had to have an interpreter on the boat with them that they knew. And I got to tell you, Mike, some things are universal. And fishing's one of them. I mean, they all knew what was going on when that reel screamed on the back of the boat.
Yeah, fish on doesn't have to be interpreted, does it?
No, and they understood. I kind of went through the interpreter was talking to them, and I was talking to the interpreter on how to play the fish on the back of the boat. And they picked it right up. Hey, it was all good. I mean, the folks in Singapore ate sushi, and the folks in West Germany drank their beer. And it was all good.
And you talk about, you know, how a muskie fights. Now, compared to a salmon, it's a whole different type of fight, isn't it?
Yeah, your muskies, you know, I mean, I set my leads up anywhere from 5 feet in back of the boat up to 40 feet behind the boat. And, you know, when these fish take off, it is such a rush to think that these fish can start 5 feet behind your boat, right in the boat's prop wash, and smoke the line out anywhere from, like, some of these supersizers that I got on the website, take you out there from 150 to 200 yards of line, and just it seems like a matter of a minute or two.
Mm.
I mean, and they bulldog you coming back in. I mean, it's they're not giving it up real easy.
I can't, you know, I still can never get used to these down rods, I think you call them, that are run basically off a transom, 5 feet down, a couple of feet below the water, and these muskies still come up and hit them. I guess when you're the biggest predator in the lake, though, there's nothing to be afraid of?
You're the biggest thing in the lake. You don't know what a boat is. That's an easy piece. That's an easy dinner right there for you to pick off the back of that boat that's just been hit and stunned by the boat and floundering around in the boat's backwash right there in that neutral dead zone. That's an easy thing for you to get. So,
wow.
And that's a great place right there to feed these guys in your bait. A couple of nice 8-inch jointed believers right in there, rocking along on each side of the boat. That's a key spot right there to be picking them up.
Well,
and people overlook that all the time.
Not you, though. I mean, that's one of your favorite spots. You
were
saying,
right?
Oh, no,
no, no. Yeah. That's one of my favorite spots. I like to put the bait down in there with anywhere from a 1-pound ball to a 20-ounce ball and just let the lead ball stay right there, even with the back of my boat.
It's not a finesse fishery at all, is it?
No. And put the bait right back in there, 5-6 feet right behind the back of the boat, right in the boat's prop one.
Hmm.
You're not fishing if you don't have something back there.
Well, Don, I will look forward to checking in with you as the season goes along. And listen, you start getting these big fish, send me pictures. I'll post them on the Facebook page. I'd love to see them, okay?
I will do, Mike.
All right. I would encourage people to go to the website, millers-sportfishing.com. There you can book a trip with Don on Lake St. Clair to catch some of these monster muskies he's talking about. The season kicks off soon, but he also books up on the the key dates, you know, the dates when everybody wants. So don't wait too long. Millers-sportfishing.com. Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Mike. Good talking to you.
Same here. As always, we will take a break here on the Outdoor Magazine Show. We might as well continue our fishing theme. I mean, why not? I got a list I want to give you. It's kind of a tongue-in-cheek list, but there's a lot of truth to it as well, and I'll give you that list when we come back right here on Outdoor Magazine.